It's true. Getting older is inevitable, and your chronological age only moves you in one direction. But you also have a biological age, which scientists can measure by assessing how your genes are expressed through epigenetics. Exciting new research shows that your biological age can move and reverse. My guest today is Dr. Kara Fitzgerald. She is a pioneering research physician who just completed a groundbreaking, rigorous clinical trial that proves you can indeed reverse your biological age by eating delicious foods and establishing some common sense lifestyle practices that positively influence genetic expression. In her study, with simple interventions, study participants reduced their biological age by over 3 years in just 8 short weeks. It's not your genetics that determine your age or your level of health. It's your epigenetics. Today, Dr. Fitzgerald and I are going to talk all about how DNA methylation powerfully influences your epigenetic expression and how food and lifestyle choices can either send your DNA methylation down the right path or the wrong path. We'll talk about simple swaps in daily routines that can add years to your life and teach you how that you can take care of your epigenetic expression at every stage of life, from infancy through midlife and into your later decades. This is The Lindsay Elmore Show. Welcome to The Lindsay Elmore Show, a podcast for people who deserve to be healthy, with honest, open, and enlightening conversations with doctors, thought leaders, creatives, and spiritual gurus. You'll walk away with simple and tangible tips and tricks that allow you to live your healthiest life so you can pursue your dreams, overcome obstacles, and leave your mark. Dr. Kara Fitzgerald received her doctorate of naturopathic medicine from the National College of Natural Medicine in Portland, Oregon. She completed the first CNME-accredited postdoctorate position in nutritional biochemistry and laboratory science at Metametrics, which is now Genova Clinical Laboratory, under the direction of Richard Lord. Her residency was completed at Progressive Medical Center, a large integrative medical practice in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Fitzgerald is the lead author and editor of Case Studies in Integrative and Functional Medicine and is a contributing author to Laboratory Evaluations for Integrative and Functional Medicine, as well as the Institute for Functional Medicine's Textbook of Functional Medicine. With the HealthGut Research Institute, Dr. Fitzgerald is actively engaged in a clinical research on DNA methylome using diet and lifestyle interventions that have been developed in her practice. The first publication from the study focuses on the reversal of biological aging and was published in 2021 in the journal Aging. Her newest book is now out, which summarizes everything that she learned in her research. Dr. Fitzgerald is on the faculty for the Institute of Functional Medicine and is an Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner. She regularly lectures in international and national circuits and is in private practice in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Her newest book is called Younger You, and it is available anywhere that you purchase books. Dr. Kara Fitzgerald, welcome to the Lindsay Elmore Show.
It's great to be with you today, Lindsay.
I am so excited to talk with you. We had an amazing conversation with my colleague, Dr. Erica Gray, a few weeks ago about just how important epigenetics is and how can we actually work with our genes and not without them and not like fight throughout our entire life. And so you talk in your new book, Younger You, about how getting older is inevitable, but chronological age, it only goes in one direction. But what you're trying to teach us all is that we also have a biological age. So start us out by differentiating, what's the difference between chronological age and biological age?
Yeah, absolutely. So chronological age is our birthdays, you know, our trips around the sun, as it were. We cannot change that, try as we might. My sister just had a birthday and we always joke that she's 29 again, but in fact, she's not. Biological ages are basically the wear and tear on our body, the physiological process of aging. And that we've got some serious say-so over. We're in a remarkable time in science and medicine because we're able to reliably measure biological aging. And we do it by looking at gene expression, to sort of circle back to your original introduction. And so, you know, that's changing the game.
So talk to us a little bit next about, what is aging? What does that actually mean is happening inside of our bodies?
That's an interesting question. You know, I think it's still being teased out. And I think if you ask, you know, different gerontologists, you'll get slightly different questions. I want to say that, you know, there are patterns of breakdown that we see, that it called the pillars of aging, where you see increased oxidative stress, you see our ability, you know, or you see chronic inflammation, our ability to respond to infection that is curtailed, our immune system health is compromised. You see changes to collagen, changes to skin, to hair, et cetera. There are these classic hallmarks or pillars of aging. One of the, you know, just fascinating understandings, though, emerging in this era, in this sort of this new era of science, where we're able to look at gene expression and measure biological age, is that aging may be something that's baked into our epigenome, into our gene expression. There's patterns. So the way that we, and you know, Lindsay, don't hesitate to interrupt me and you know, define things a little bit more clearly. Our study there. So epigenetics is the science of studying gene expression, epi above, genetics, genes. And there are many ways that we regulate gene expression. There are many epigenetic processes happening. And it's right there, you know, right on the genetic material, right on the DNA. There are different biochemical processes happening to the proteins the DNA is wrapped around, and on the DNA itself, et cetera, et cetera. And the one that's been the process that's been studied the best and is one of the most resilient, it can be passed from cell division to cell division to cell division, it can be inherited, is called DNA methylation. And this is just a carbon and three hydrogens. When there are multiple of these methyl groups, in science, they're denoted as a little red lollipop. And you can imagine a double helix, you know, a strand of DNA, you know, dotted with these red lollipops, you know, concentrated in a certain region. Usually that gene is off. And conversely, when those lollipops are not present, or they're removed because they can be actively removed, then that gene can be turned on. And so this DNA methylation is essential from earliest embryogenesis. There's these predictable DNA methylation patterns all the way to, you know, centenarians and you know, as old as we can possibly get. You can see these changes to DNA methylation that correlate with age. And it was, you know, the brilliant Dr. Steve Horvath out of UCLA who developed the first biological age clock looking at patterns of DNA methylation, and subsequently has, you know, developed what they call second and third generation clocks that are, you know, more and more sensitive. he took, you know, massive amounts of data and was able to show that, you know, an embryo, a fetus is negative. It's not a positive age. And a centenarian is a centenarian. Like the first clock walks in almost perfect lockstep with chronological age. So you can look at gene expression and you can say this person is X number of years old. It's astonishing. And that was in 2013. But it's not a perfect correlation. And that's important. That's important. That little 0.4 spot of room. So it correlates with an association of 0.96 is where biological age could happen in this particular clock. This is the wiggle room, as it were. So it correlates, but so some people age biologically slower and some people are aging faster. And because we have his tools and the subsequent clocks available to us, we can now study, you know, what's influencing biological age. And our study happened to be the first randomized control trial looking at a diet and lifestyle intervention to show biological age, significant biological age reversal. And because of that, it's gotten a tremendous amount of attention. So let me just stop there.
Yeah. I mean, because everybody wants to feel youthful and feel like their brain is firing on all fronts. And you know, in functional medicine, we talk a lot about how, you know, we just don't believe that it is the natural course of human events for everyone to end up with tons and tons of diseases that accumulate over the course of a lifetime. We believe that people can live long, healthy lives until they die. But how? How do people do it? So, you know, we're talking, okay, so how do I make sure that my DNA is staying methylated? And how do I ensure that I'm doing everything that I can to help reverse the signs of aging, especially early onset aging?
Yeah, right. Well, let me tell you, statistically in this country, we are aging faster mm-hmm. than other countries. I know within our functional medicine paradigm, we are doing everything to support our patients in not aging forward. But as a country, we're aging faster than other countries. And we spend a significant chunk, 16 years of our final years on the planet, struggling with multiple significant illnesses, and our quality of life deteriorates mm-hmm. profoundly. Mm-hmm. It's a huge public health issue, the significance of illness in our country, and one that we really need to be devoting ourselves on turning around. And so again, to be able to see that we can make an improvement in biological age using, you know, pretty straightforward stuff is, it's a really big and it's an exciting deal. I want to just say statistically, Lindsay, that there was a paper written last year by David Sinclair out of Harvard and his colleagues looking at the economics of just 1 year of a biological age reversal. So just one year increase in lifespan would save us in this country $38 trillion, $38 trillion. And we're not talking, you know, a millennia here. We're talking a single year. So the cost savings for us to think about this and invest in it are just so substantial. It's almost difficult to, you know, overstate it.
Well, yeah. So wait, talk us through how that works, because you would think, you know, everybody is worried about the aging boomer population and how disease burdened people are in this country. And so how does that compute? It seems like extending life would add to the burden.
It has to be. Yeah. So good point. And indeed, extending lifespan without health span will unequivocally extend the burden. So health span has to be in lockstep with it. And then it will have a significant reversal. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that we all understand like that this could save a ton of money in our extraordinarily riddled with debt medical system, what are the interventions? Like, what are you have to do every single day to actually do it?
Yeah. Well, our program was just 8 weeks, you know, so you can jump in and do it for 8 weeks, or you can just adopt some of the principles. We want you to enter into this conversation wherever you're at. We'll meet you where you're at. Our study participants engaged in a diet that's very plant forward. So a lot of greens, no great surprise. A lot of colorful veggies, a chunk of cruciferous, a good amount of cruciferous on a daily basis. So, and about 7 cups of veggies per day. We want people to eat beets. So we're feeding DNA expression. All of the nutrients in our program are what we call epinutrients. They're nutrients that favorably influence epigenetic expression. And in particular, we were thinking about DNA methylation. So all of these foods that I'm mentioning have some beneficial property for gene expression. They're all epinutrients. We like eggs. If you eat eggs or can handle eggs, we want you to have 5 to 10 a week. Eggs are very rich in something called choline, which is a epinutrient extraordinaire, very important for methylation. We want people to eat a ton of these really beautiful polyphenols. For anybody watching the video, I'm going to show one of my favorites. This is green tea. Green tea is really rich in these catechins, and they are just, they're epinutrient extraordinaire, EGCG being sort of the king of those catechins. Turmeric is another amazing nutrient because it's packed with curcumin and it is an epinutrient extraordinaire. The interesting and kind of cool thing about these polyphenols is that you already know them. They've been used in diets and they've been used in traditional medicine for millennia. I think one of the interesting things we're going to find in this new era of being able to really see gene expression is that probably a lot of the way that these exert their beneficial influence is by shifting gene expression. So it's like the root cause. So we know, for instance, curcumin is potently anti-inflammatory, it's antimicrobial, it's antioxidant, it's got so many important benefits, and it may be that it's doing that heavy lifting right at the level of gene expression. And there's just loads of them, rosmarinic acid and rosemary, luteolin, quercetin, the shiitake mushrooms and maitake and anaki are packed with important epinutrients. So there's a 30-page epinutrient appendix. It's unique. There's no nutrient appendix like it out there. So you can go back there and just pick out, look and see and highlight whatever you need to do, the zillions of foods that A, you're already eating, and B, you could add to your diet. So it's kind of a fun thing to do. Make sure every fork you consume is packed with epinutrients. I think it's a really doable thing.
It's so funny. Lara and I were talking. Lara's a mutual colleague of mine and Dr. Fitzgerald's, and she's been on the show as well. You can go back and listen to her episode about what is it that pharmacists actually do.
That's so funny.
I know. Nobody knows what a pharmacist does. And good night. If my social media is not a reflection of that, it's such a shame that pharmacists have gotten kind of sidebarred into mass chain production, where it's just push the drugs out the door, and it's like no, can't do it. But Lara and I were talking, and we were just like, okay, just put it in the smoothie, like every single day, just put it in the smoothie. I have even started putting turmeric in like quesadillas. It's not like it has much flavor. If you're making soup, just put some turmeric in it. Just put some things in it. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Have you ever felt like you're not resilient to stress, that you lack confidence, that you can't perform exercises like you once could? Or maybe you just feel tired, sad, or depressed. That could mean that something is off with your mental wellness. That is why I love the Happy Juice Pack from Amare. It has everything you need to boost your mood and your motivation. It also helps to support your gut, which is your second brain, and it enhances mental performance all throughout the day. It provides the fuel that you need for a highly productive day. Inside of the Happy Juice Pack, there is the Amari Edge, a game-changing supplement that will transform your mood, motivation, and metabolism. There's also the Mentabiotics, which are a comprehensive combination of probiotics, prebiotics, and phytobiotics that have been scientifically proven to help improve overall mental wellness. Last but not least, there's Energy Plus, a new energy product that delivers rapid improvements in your brain and physical performance without all of the jitters or the crash that you might get from many high stimulant or high sugar energy drinks. Get the Happy Juice Pack today and save 10% when you subscribe and save. All you have to do is head to www.lindseyelmore.com/happyjuice. That's www.lindseyelmore.com/happyjuice. There's no code required, but simply by clicking that link, you'll save $10 off your first order and 10% when you subscribe and save. Head to lindseyelmore.com/happyjuice. And now, let's get back to the show. So is it all diet, or are there...
So funny. You guys are so funny. That's awesome. Just put some damn turmeric
in
the pot.
Exactly. All the things.
I could just see you having that conversation. No, it's not all diet. So it turns out that lifestyle factors are profoundly impactful on gene expression. Profoundly. I mean, people ask us, what did the heavy lifting lifestyle or the diet in the study? And obviously we can't tease that out because we put everything together, which is reflective of real life. But lifestyle factors are just as important. We included exercise, a gentle 5-day-a-week prescription. So 30 minutes, 5 days a week, with a perceived exertion of 60-80% of max. So that's 60-80% of your max. Maybe you're breathing slightly heavier. You might be slightly perspiring, but you can still keep on a conversation. And maybe that gets a little harder as you get up to 80%, but it's not crazy. If you're a couch potato, you know, you take it really easy in the beginning. You don't go to CrossFit. You just keep it really simple. The importance is consistency. Although I do want to say the cool thing about gene expression and exercise is that there are studies that show, you know, really just one exercise event can have favorable changes to gene expression, but, you know, regular exercise has far more impactful favorable changes. And there was a study published recently that looks at the gene expression created by exercise as being the heavy lifting mechanism of exercise. So the benefit, I said that so convolutedly, the benefit of exercise is in how it changes gene expression. And then you get all those downstream benefits. There's two cool points I want to make additionally on exercise. So pick what you love and just do it. Study participants walked. I mean, they all kept it pretty simple, but be consistent about it. Do it with a community if you need to. But two interesting and cool concepts are, one, that if you haven't had kids yet and you're going to, and you've got a decent exercise habit, you're going to pass off some of that genetic expression to your offspring, which is so cool. Or conversely, I suppose if you have if you don't exercise and there's some negative gene expression, you might pass that off as well. The other thing is that as we age, our gene expression gets wonky. Our gene expression starts to break down. Inflammatory genes get turned on, good genes that protect us from cancer, for example, get shut off. I mean, it's a raw deal. It's as if the body is breaking down on purpose as far as genetic expression goes. And let me say that these changes to gene expression in aging are happening across the board in the chronic diseases of aging, like heart disease and dementia and cardiovascular disease and diabetes and cancer. Exercise re-expresses some of those genes that are shut down in the aging process, and it actually does it better when you're older. So there's no excuse not to exercise. Don't say that you're too old to exercise. It's important. It's essential for longevity and for good gene expression. And the other piece of our program was tracking sleep. We wanted our participants to sleep well. And same thing, there are really good studies out there showing both the benefit of and the problem when not getting enough sleep on gene expression and stress. Stress is a huge thing. So we worked with our participants on stress specifically by prescribing meditation. Same thing. There's a lot of research showing the benefits on gene expression with meditation. Meditation is an anti-aging intervention. Stress is conversely extremely pro-aging. I mean, my read on the science, you know, my conclusion was that it's gasoline on the fire of aging.
You know, that is, I mean, is there anything that stress does not make worse? It makes every disease worse. It causes every single disease. It is, if it's not cortisol and it's not insulin, it's probably not anything that's going on in your life. And, you know, and I'd like to echo something that Dr. Casey Means taught us on this show. You know, people who are wearing continuous glucose monitors, as little as 2 minutes of walking after a meal is enough to help blunt your blood glucose spikes, which then blunts your insulin spikes, which then blunts the inflammatory cascade that is there with high levels of insulin in the body.
And you will see that phenomena, when uncontrolled, absolutely change gene expression towards the negative. So high blood sugar, even one meal, can create negative changes in genetic expression. So yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's playing a huge role at gene expression and then beyond, as you and Casey Means discussed, for sure.
So I get what you're saying, that you put it all together, that stress, sleep, food, exercise, all of it has to work together. But if our listeners are sitting here and they're like, I can't do all of that, how do you approach getting something accomplished versus just getting stuck in that analysis paralysis? I mean, you mentioned you like to meet people where they are. So where do you start with somebody who's like, I don't know that I can focus on everything at one time?
Yeah. So in the book, we've got a section on swaps. So if you can just move towards using some of these nutrients, as I said earlier, we've got a massive epinutrient appendix. There's something for everybody in there. You could start there. I mean, I could imagine someone using this book with a highlighter and just going into that appendix and saying, okay, I eat, you know, blueberries, I eat strawberries, I love, you know, rosemary and thyme, I'll eat red bell peppers, for example, and on and on. You can just get in the back there. Yes, I eat chicken, or, you know, I'll eat some mushrooms. Anyway, there is food back there for everybody. So you could start with the simple swaps. You can use the appendix. We also have an everyday program. We call it the Everyday Younger You. And that is sort of the Younger You light. It's for people just transitioning in. So oftentimes we'll have people who do the study program, the Younger You intensive, we call it. Once they complete that 8-week structure, we'll transition them onto the Everyday Younger You, which allows some grain and some dairy and so forth. It's a little bit more liberal, depending on whether those foods are okay for you. You could start there. You don't have to start on the Younger You intensive. So I would look at the book as a whole, figure out what you're willing to do and what you're capable of doing, and start. Just take the first step. We need, in this era of being able to see gene expression and knowing that what we're doing and how we're living our lives is a bigger influence on gene expression and longevity and health than the genes themselves by a lot, by a significant margin, how we live will influence the quality of our life versus our genes. And knowing that, you know, as my mentor, you know, Dr. Jeff Bland says, comes with great responsibility. I mean, this piece of information basically says, you know, the ball is in our court. So get the book and start with it wherever you can. Mm-hmm. In our clinical practice here, you know, as Lara knows, being the director of our nutrition programs, we layer these principles into every, you know, into every patient case and plan that, you know, that we see. So everybody is adopting some of these fundamental principles, some more than others, you know, depending on what their therapeutic plan is, but we use it for everyone and it's not a big deal. Like, it's very doable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that is just such good advice. Just start with something, even if it's just one vegetable a day. You know, I think about one of my patients from way back in the day. She was drinking, you know, three liters of soda a day. And so, like, to go from three liters of soda to no soda was going to take some time. It was going to take some issues. It was going to take her, like, taking a stepwise approach. So what about the opposite end of the spectrum? What are the things that we're doing that are literally making us older, besides stress, as you've already mentioned?
Well, yeah. So what do we add and what do we take out to our lifestyle? Certainly, just as you talked about earlier, sugar is profoundly pro-aging. There's no doubt about it. Sugar, simple sugar, processed foods, all of it. You know, the modern lifestyle is a pro-aging lifestyle. I mean, I said earlier, we're aging faster in this country, you know, than elsewhere in the globe. You know, we live this modern sedentary lifestyle. We sit on, you know, we sit at our office chairs all day and eat processed foods. We were just not designed to live that way. So this is, you know, our program is a little bit more from where we came, you know, a little bit more how we were designed. So you want to avoid the standard American diet big time. You want to avoid the sedentary habits that we've adopted. You can see in the back there that I use my treadmill desk. I use it often. And if I didn't have my little pod and lights set up over here, I would be on that so I could get a little bit of movement each day in my work day.
Even I'm over here sitting on my bouncy ball so that at least I have to hold my own body weight. My core has to hold my body.
It has to
up.
Be engaged. Yeah, I have a wobbly chair. I don't remember what the brand is, but there requires some core engagement. Yeah. And that's pretty easy. Like, this is a comfortable chair, you know, and I know Ken Litwin, my colleague here in the clinic, uses a bouncy ball too, when he's not seeing patients. So there's a lot we can do. In fact, I was talking to a producer of a show, getting ready to go on a show. And he was talking about having a little sort of bike pedal underneath his desk. So there's many solutions out there to get us moving. I'm on the fourth floor and I'll run downstairs and run upstairs sometimes between things that I'm doing. So exercise is very essential. Addressing our stress is exquisitely important, you know, avoiding the standard American diet and really trying to get enough sleep. Like sleeping continues to be probably my weakest link in all of these. I've got a toddler at home who wakes up still quite a bit, and I need to be able to fall back asleep. I need to be able to go to sleep efficiently. And as I say in the book, I really focused on sleeping like I was training for a marathon, because, man, I had some serious insomnia for a chunk of time, and it felt deadly. So the sleep section is, I think, helpful. It's full of really useful hacks. And then I, you know, talk about some of the background science on how damaging it is.
We've had Dr. Sarah Gottfried on the show, and she talks about how sleep is basically a savings account. You are saving for your future by how much you're willing to invest in good sleep habits. And Dr. Zeke Medina came on, and we've talked about how we just we're so bad. We are so bad at crafting good sleep routines. And so talk to us. We touched a little bit on inflammation, but stress causes inflammation. Lack of sleep causes inflammation. The standard American diet causes inflammation. Is inflammation really what is causing aging to happen?
Inflammation, you know, as they call it. So, you know, this goes to the sort of I'm drinking this awesome golden milk, this turmeric golden milk, and it's just a little bit grainy and sometimes it gets stuck, but it's good. It's full of turmeric.
And yeah, I was about to say, just put some turmeric in it. It'll be fine.
It's delicious. Inflammation drives aging, but you know, what, and all of those things you just said cause inflammation. So inflammation is a huge fundamental player in the aging journey. I think if we go even deeper than that, we're still going to see dysregulation of DNA methylation. And there are two animal studies out that sort of argue this point. They're both out of David Sinclair's lab at Harvard. And in one study, they caused a age-related optic neuropathy in mice. So that the mice vision was old. They made it old. And then they reversed it by cleaning up DNA methylation. So changing gene expression via DNA methylation and demethylation, so adding and subtracting methyl donors on the DNA, corrected their vision so they could see again and made their optic neurons younger, youthful. Mm-hmm. So that would suggest that it's there at gene expression as the most root cause. And then it kind of trickles down and influences inflammation. And then there's the, you know, end organ damage. And then they did another interesting study where they made mice old by this epigenetic dysregulation. So this DNA methylation dysregulation, and then made them young by correcting DNA methylation. I mean, that's pretty crazy. When you look at what is old, of course, inflammation is fundamental to that process. So I don't know if that makes sense, but what I'm positing here is that there's a very root cause and a very upstream approach that we can be thinking about and maybe very important for us to think about. And that is, again, going right to the heart of gene expression. I think one of the rather extraordinary things, if I do say so, about our diet, our program, is that's what we were sort of betting on, the fundamental importance of really massaging gene expression. Like, we sort of went right to that as the source. We didn't know when we started our study that we would reverse biological age. In fact, it wasn't that long ago. We started our study design in 2017. Nothing had been published on biological age reversal. It was not thought to be possible. By the time that we published our study, there were only four, and we're the first control study. So to say that it's an extraordinary time. And I know you're shaking your head and saying, well, we see this in functional medicine all the time, but we didn't know that we were changing gene expression, you know, at the level of DNA methylation. I mean, we're in a new era. Like, we see that we get people better with our approach, like almost miraculously so sometimes. But to have the tools to actually look and measure what's going on at the level of genetic expression is sort of it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. So I know some of our listeners are going to be sitting here because so many people are concerned about MTHFR, and I have people reach out to me all the time and say, I have MTHFR, and I'm like, yes, we all do. We all do. And I think people lack understanding about, you know, B vitamin metabolism and all of the things. So talk to us just about the basics. So yes, we've got the lollipop. Yes, we've got basically ticks, little groups being added to DNA. But how is this similar or different to if somebody's sitting there and they're like, okay, I've researched my MTHFR, I know my B vitamin synthesis and metabolism is off. Is DNA similar or are there, you know, I just don't want people to walk away who might be like, oh no, I have an MTHFR mutation. That means that I probably am not methylating my DNA. Like, talk to us about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, MTHFR, you know, first of all, you want to find out whether it's significant. You know, you want to get some laboratory evidence that it's significant. You can look at homocysteine. I mean, you can look at, you know, other biomarkers within the methylation cycle. Again, those of us in, you know, functional medicine and many, many, many of our patients are familiar with measuring homocysteine or S-adenosyl methionine, et cetera. So we can get a sense of it. Probably in some cases, MTHFR, if it is significantly halting the methylation cycle, could ultimately influence DNA methylation because the methylation cycle is making the lollipop, as it were. So if you're very compromised there, you could have some issues with DNA methylation. I think that the MTHFR problem has generally been overstated and overaddressed in our community. And I also think that if you've got it, it's worth assessing and finding out where you are. And just to let folks know, these DNA methylation assessment tests will become more and more utilized by clinicians and, you know, even accessible to patients as well. So you'll be able to, or just regular consumers, so you'll be able to access them. However, so here's the thing, and I make this point pretty strongly. It's not, you don't want to simply push methylation forward. It doesn't make sense to diagnose yourself as a poor methylator, and therefore I need to take a pile of Bs. It's more complex than that. And you don't want to induce hypermethylation on genes that you want on. So recall at the beginning, I said lots of these red lollipops, lots of these methyl donors on regions of genes will inhibit expression. And conversely, too little can allow that gene to be turned on. We need to be mindful that the genes we want on are on, that they're not hypermethylated, and the genes that we want off are in fact hypermethylated and shut off. And we need to be thinking in that, you know, more nuanced way regarding expression. The categories, so our diet is very methyl donor centric, but then the polyphenols that we use, we call those methylation adaptogens. They sort of move around where methylation is taking place on the DNA. At least that's what I suspect they're doing. And we could see in our study participants that that's what happened with regard to biological aging. We moved their DNA methylation patterns around in keeping with a younger biological age, whereas our control group didn't. In fact, our control group got a little bit older, not significantly, but you know, they didn't. So I don't think taking B vitamins without a good reason is necessarily a smart thing to do. We prescribe them here in practice all the time, but we have a reason, we have an endpoint, and we couple them with these methylation adaptogens. We couple them with other epinutrients. So this age of being able to see gene expression, you know, and as I said before, comes with some responsibility. You know, just throwing a bunch of nutrients, a bunch of vitamins in, you know, in our mouths and thinking it's no big deal because they're water soluble and you'll pee them out, isn't necessarily correct, you know, in this era of being able to see what's going on.
Right. And it's also just a waste of money, you know.
Yeah, that's people, right. That's right.
People are constantly now. Certainly, if you're, you know, doing things that deplete your B vitamins, like taking a lot of medications or drinking alcohol or all those things, then yeah, we supplement. But I agree with you. And I'm glad you said that you think that MTHFR has been like a little overhyped, because I am so with you. When people come to me and they're like, I have this MTHFR mutation, and I'm like, which one? It's the most highly, you know, there's more SNPs that can do things, most highly diverse genetic gene that we have. And people don't understand that, like, they may have a mutation and still have 99% function. And so, like you said, we got to see if it's actually meaningful. Now, I know that everybody is going to head and pick up a copy of your book, Younger You, but you also have an app. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So we're going to be able to continue to research. There's a research arm in the app. It's called 3YY for 3 years younger, and you can find it. You can actually go to youngeryouprogram.com and you'll see the book there, and then you'll see a link to 3YY, which is the app. The app has everything that the study did and then some. So the nutritionists who ran the study are there and available through the app. The whole program is outlined in really awesome, easy to use format so that you know what you need to do every day. You can get the epigenetic testing in the app. That's part of the program. So if you want to look at this DNA methylation, it's right there. Get your biological age, it's right there. Our biological age subjective assessment is there. All the forms that I included in the book are here. If you would like to participate in the research arm and, you know, let us look at your data and how you're doing, then there's a arm for that. And that's also through the app. So you can just get, you can have a turnkey version of our program if you use the app.
Mm-hmm. I love it. That's just so simple for people to come and just say, like, okay, I want to work on how do I feel younger and feel healthier. And sharing your data helps with so much. You know, it helps us to really inform future generations. So everybody go and head over to youngeryouprogram.com. You can check out the book there. You can also check out the app, pick up a copy of Dr. Fitzgerald's new book, Younger You. Dr. Kara Fitzgerald, thank you so much for coming in and being a guest today on the Lindsay Elmore Show.
Lindsay, it was awesome to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Eaton Hemp is a farmer-owned hemp company located in upstate New York, and they focus on using all of the powerful benefits of hemp to create superfood products. They offer delicious and nutritious farm-to-table certified USDA organic hemp food products, including toasted hemp seeds and hemp hearts, and they have these amazing tasty hemp balls that are going to be your new addiction. You can add their tasty hemp products to just about anything from smoothies, salads, or your favorite healthy recipe. Not only do they boost the flavor, but they add a punch of protein and fiber, as well as an omega-3 fatty acid boost, and are loaded with micronutrients like magnesium, zinc, and iron. They are considered to be the nature's most nutrient-dense superfood. As a special offer for our podcast listeners, you can save 25% on all Eaton Hemp products and still get a full money-back guarantee. Head over to www.eatonhemp.com/Lindsay Elmore Show to save 25% on all of your new favorite snacks. That's www.eatonhemp.com/Lindsay Elmore Show. Please be sure to shop the code provided so that Eaton Hemp knows that the show sent you to them. The Lindsay Elmore Show is written and produced by me, Lindsay Elmore. Show segments are produced by Sue Procco and Derek Lugo. Sound design and editing is by Jive Media. Support the Lindsay Elmore Show by heading to lindsayelmore.com/podcast. Your contribution, no matter how big or how small, helps us to bring the best guests to the interview chair. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Share this and all of your favorite episodes with a friend and on social media. Be sure to tag at Lindsay Elmore Show and help us bring the pod to more people.